Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Monday. Happy Veterans Day. Coming up, we'll hear from Kirk Cousins, our quarterback, about what happened Sunday in New Orleans. And it was disappointing, to say the least. We get the Broncos Sunday. It's a later start, by the way. 4 o'clock start on Sunday as they go on the road. But as we kind of recap all the things that took place yesterday, and we said, if you're just joining us, it was an unusual weekend. Atlanta United shocks the world and beats Miami, Inter Miami. They move on in the playoffs for a chance to maybe get to the MLS Cup, which is great because I don't think anybody expected it. Georgia Tech with an amazing win against Miami at home, and we're going to talk to Brent Key coming up in less than 20 minutes. Stay right there. Georgia head football coach or Georgia Tech head football coach Brent Key is going to join us. And then, Mike, we saw the Falcons, you know, do what they did against the Saints. And the part of the problem is with the Falcons, you saw how well we played, specifically, I think, in the second half. Mike, adjustments were made. We didn't give up explosive plays, but we left too many points off the board.
Yeah, we had a bad drive. I mean, to start the game, Kirk Cousins, I don't know, watching on TV, I don't know how you felt. It looked like he was just missing. He was missing Darnell Mooney. He was missing high with some of his throws. And not a great day for Kirk. I think he'd be the first to admit that, and he does. But then, you know, on defense, you were not able to get a pass rush, and the inability to get Carr on the ground allowed him to let Marquez Valdes-Scantling scamper all the way behind our three best defensive players for a huge explosive play, then another one, and then the touchdown where he does a, they have this pre-snap motion, which kind of gets, I guess, A.J. Terrell looking one way. I'm not sure that was where he was supposed to be. And then he scores two touchdowns. Marquez freaking Valdes-Scantling scores two because we can't get the quarterback on the ground. And then eventually we put, you know, A.J. Terrell on him specifically. And then you said it. They don't get anything. Barely 100 yards in the second half.
Yeah, we really contained them. They didn't score in the fourth quarter, but neither did we. More on this to come.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
What did Kirk Cousins have to say about his performance after the loss? You will hear it. But we've got to hear from Kirk Cousins, and you'll hear from Arch as well, as he had a chance to catch up with the quarterback after the game. Here's the thing, Mike. Where does this leave us? Well, we're still in a good spot. For Falcon fans who are concerned, guys, we'd have to have a monumental breakdown to not win this division. It hurt because it's the Saints. It sucked because we didn't play well enough to get the dub. But the fact of the matter is we're still in control of this division, even with that win yesterday for the Saints. And they were desperate. We talked about it. They won their first two games. They had lost 7 in a row. So we are still in a good place. But we do have an issue that we have to discuss. That is Younghoe Koo.
Yeah, he's been really wobbly lately. You know, let's be honest, guys. He's just not having a good year by his standard. His percentage now, he is at 70% of his field goals made, and that puts him at the bottom of all the starting kickers, guys who haven't been cut or came in midseason. You know, he is literally at the bottom of the league right now, like second from the bottom. He's got to be better. And kicking is mental. We get that. No one understands kicking because no one ever kicked. That's why we don't like kickers. He's been really good. He's picked up where Matt Bryant left off when he took over for Matt Bryant 5 years ago. He's been one of the best in the league, Pro Bowler. But he's got to figure this out because even though Coach Rye will defend him and say it shouldn't come down to a field goal, it did. It's a division rival game. You just touched on it. We were garbage in the first half. We got it together. Things start rolling. You can't miss. You can't leave 9 points. Now, one was a block. Two were misses that he's got to make.
Was he 1 for 4?
1 for 4. He missed 3. One was blocked. He missed 2.
All right.
He misses left early, and then some would say, like golf, he overcorrects, and then he slices it right, hits the upright, and then goes out. If he makes two of those field goals, and these are field goals he normally makes, Carl,
correct,
indoors,
correct,
we win the game. If he makes one, we go to overtime.
So what do you do?
And it hit the right upright.
What do you do? 404-726-0929. Chris, what's the poll look like? Because we said to you earlier today, we want to know how you feel. There are games where you go, hey, team, overall team, we didn't play well enough. And there are games where you say the quarterback threw three interceptions and he didn't play well enough. And then there are games where your field goal kicker let you down. This was that game. So, poll question, Chris, where are we at right now?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of response on this one. Go to Dukes and Bell 929 on Twitter. We don't call it X. What should the Falcons do with Younghoe Koo? Simple question. Gave you three choices, or you could fill in your own. We got a lot of comments, too. Cut him now, 16%. Give him one more game, 26%. By far leading the way, stick with him the rest of the year.
Yeah, you're hoping that he course corrects, Carl, because, you know, you got outdoor games in Denver, that's at altitude, then we have the bye week, and then we have the Chargers coming here, and the Chargers look really good this week with their win. So, I mean, look, we know what his guy's capable of. The games we've won, now granted we had 3 years of 7-10, but we wouldn't have even gotten to those seven without Koo, right? We all agree there.
Yeah.
But you can't have moments like this, and he missed the field goal in Tampa Bay, which would have iced that game for us, by the way. Remember that?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm with most people who say you give him – this is a no-brainer. He's been too good. We believe in him. You give him another shot. Obviously, you're going to run him out Sunday, and they're going to have full confidence in him. But if we have another slip-up like this, we're going to have confidence issues in him as a fan base.
Right.
And I can't have that heading into the playoffs.
No.
I can't.
No, yeah, and it's something you're not supposed to be worrying about. And we said it's weird. The kickers, every great kicker, even guys that, you know, that have been Pro Bowlers, like we mentioned, was it Justin Tucker with the Ravens? He's missed a bunch of kicks this year. He's missed some extra points by his lofty standards. But Koo is much better than this. Everybody's got a theory. Unless you're pals with Koo, guys, I don't want to hear about the person. You don't know.
I don't know.
But he's got to fix it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't assume that anything outside of what he does on a daily basis.
But I think that's born of how the kicking is perceived as just so mental. People would think something's created a situation between his ears.
Well, you saw the frustration yesterday. And for those who missed it, real quick before we hear Kirk Cousins, Arthur Blank literally walked him off the field. And you're going to say, well, what does that mean? It means that ownership, and everybody knows what Koo means to this football team. Listen, you can take blame in this moment and say, and he did, this one's on me. He was patting his chest, telling everybody, sorry, I let y'all down. I'm going to be back at this thing. I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, like, only time's going to tell if it's fixed. Only the next time he goes out there and, Mike, it's a little right or left, or if it doesn't go through, will we know. So, you know, this is a wobble. It doesn't mean he's going to fall, but he's got to fix the wobble. Let's hear from Kirk Cousins, guys, after the game, talking to our own Dave Archer.
Kirk, obviously, the disappointing in the way things turned out, had some chances at the second half, but a little bit of a slow start. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, it's all running together right now, Arch. But, yeah. You know, we convert the first third down of the game. The second third down, we have. The ball's just a little bit too far for Drake, but it's there, you know, and that's one I want back. You know, you convert that third down, you're possibly in scoring position at that point, and so that could have eliminated a slow start. You know, we could have come out on the first possession and gotten points. So that's where my mind goes, but after that, it all runs together.
Probably not fair for me to state it that way, because you just said there were a couple of moments there that might have been able to change what that felt like. Tell me about the run game. You guys got the run game cranked up. Bijan was special today, it looked like.
Yeah, we were getting good chunks. You know, trying to stay ahead of the chains the best we could, but certainly ran the football well enough to win from their standpoint, and you know, wish we had been able to build off of that more and turn it into points.
What is it they do from it looked like they did a pretty good job of plaster coverage or sticky coverage early on, and then you guys were able to kind of penetrate that and start to get it going.
Yeah, they were playing tight, you know, grabby coverage, and it was hard to get the space we were looking for, but you know, that's pro football, and you're going to have tight coverage, and we just got to be able to catch and throw in it. And Saints defense did a good job all day long.
You got a good kick start from your defense in the second half. They come out, Jesse makes a play, made a couple guys make. They had four consecutive three and outs for you guys to help you get back in the game.
Yeah, that was big. You know, we just had to score more points. You know, we had time of possession, we moved the football, we stayed on the field. but we didn't score points. And, you know, we shouldn't be leaving it in the field goal team's hands. We should be, you know, able to finish drives with six. And when you settle for field goals, it tends to, you know, make it hard to pull away.
All right, last thing for you, and this may not be fair, but how is it frustrating for you because you guys are really good on offense, but there's those moments where you're not where you want to be. But is that part of the growth process as you go through 17 games?
Yeah, I just think we can be better. We haven't played our best football. We're leaving things out there, and anytime you do that, it's extremely frustrating. So you come back to work and you you know, try to put together that game next Sunday, but you know, it's tough when you know how much offense we left out there today.
Kirk, thanks for your time.
Yep, thanks, Arch.
Yeah, we talked about the second half because they, you know, they couldn't get the quarterback on the ground, and then we talked about adjustments they made in the secondary, and then you stopped them, and you were forcing field goals, and you were forcing a couple of three and outs. If you look at the box score, they start the second half, 3 and out. We have to settle for a field goal. Field goal, we get a touchdown. And that's when I thought things were rolling, Carl. That beautiful throw to Kyle Pitts, and then that amazing run by Bijan, where Bijan looks like he's lost his balance, and he just hits afterburners, and like Honey Badger can't catch him. And that was one of the most, I mean, we've seen a million great Bijan runs. That was something else. And you felt like, okay, the worm has turned. We got this. Right?
116 yards, Mike, for Bijan, two touchdowns, and that 37-yard run you're talking about. That's the one, man. I mean, I'm with you. By the way, we ran for 181.
Could we have run for more at the end of the day? Should we try to be running the football a little bit more at times?
I think you're right. I think that for whatever reason, we didn't continue to do what was working. And some of that may have been, you know, let's get Kurt into a rhythm because we're going to need him late. And maybe, I'm not sure. But, you know, one of our listeners says, what about Jimmy Lake? Guys, we gave up two explosive plays early in this game. That hurt us. There's no doubt about it. But we limited that in the second half. Speaking of Bijan, let's hear what he had to say after the game with Dave Archer.
Joined now by our Solomon Brothers player of the game, Bijan Robinson. And B, this was a tough football game. You guys knew it coming in.
Yeah. I mean, first off, I just want to give honor to God, obviously, and just playing for him and, you know, giving another opportunity to get to go out there and play for him and just keeping us healthy and safe. And, you know, I know that God's going to let us have the greatest season. We just have to take it 1 week at a time. But, yeah, like to your question, it was tough. You know, obviously, we had a lot of self, you know, inflicted wounds that we shouldn't have put on the field. And I know for us, like if we take those off, then we win the game. But yeah, I mean, that's a rivalry game. It doesn't matter what the record is. Like, you know, rivalry games are always, you know, in the battle, in the moment. But I mean, we didn't finish this one, but obviously got to come back and be better for the next one.
You never really seem to start slow. You're always rolling right off the start, but the team kind of felt like they started slow. Did it feel that way to you guys? You're kind of stuck in mud a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't want to, you know, go three and out at all. Obviously we, you know, didn't do what we wanted on the first drive, and then we wanted to get some more on the second, but like, I think for us, it's more so being consistent and you know, just helping out the defense. You know, we want to play complimentary ball, and, you know, we don't want to be the guys to get the defense on the field quick. Like, we want to, you know, give them some time to, you know, get off the field and so we can be all right. But at the end of the day, like, you know, we got to play complimentary ball to help the defense so we can, you know, have sustained better drives and put the ball in the end zone.
It's not an individual game, but I'm going to, first of all, ask you kind of an individual question here. Okay. You okay?
Yeah,
all right. I'm with you. Okay. So over 100 yards the fourth time in your career. You had just a tremendous run where you ran through the safety. Take me through the run and what you saw. But it was a classic Bijan Robinson run.
Yeah, man. I mean, at first, like, I thought there was nothing there because it looked like there was nothing there. But then as I started to keep pressing, then I saw just a little crease happen. And I saw Ray Reagan's block, and I, like, cut off that block, broke the tackle, and I was like, I have to get in the end zone. But it was one of those runs where you just, like, don't see it at first, and it was all clogged up. And then at the last second, it just opened up, and then it was off to the races.
Tell me about crowd noise out there. This is one of the great places to play, one of the more difficult places to play. It looked like it might have affected the offensive tackles in a couple of protection situations, but how was it out there?
Yeah, I mean, they brought the energy. It was definitely loud. We got to, you know, go on silent most of the game. And for us, we know that we have to – that shouldn't matter for us. Like, we work on it all week during the practice. And, you know, for us, like, we knew we were going to come in here with a loud crowd, and, you know, they were going to, you know, try to get in our heads. And, you know, we needed to do what we had to do to get past that. But I think for us, like, you know, that was a game that we, you know, need to learn from when it comes to crowd noise and things like that, because, you know, that can't be the issue coming in the next game, and we gotta make sure that we're on point on all phases for that.
Solomon Brothers player of the game, Bijan Robinson, over 100 yards and really gave everything he possibly had for a win. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, just tough, man. We talked about all the opportunities, including like the defensive holding on that final drive, and then the sack, and the ball fumbles, and Matthew's got to run back 20 yards and fall on it, and that's pretty much all she wrote. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. It's not a Falcon Victory Monday, but it's a Jackets Victory Monday. We're going a little early with Coach Brent Key because he knows there's Lombardi time, or maybe it's O'Leary time, and he's ready to go. Coach, first off, congratulations, man, on a huge win. I know we called a signature win, but, man, that was something on Saturday.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you guys.
Brent, the situation with Haynes King all week, I know you were answering questions about Haynes King's status. I mean, it, was it one where he said, Coach, I mean, whatever the medical staff says, I'm going to miss this game?
Yeah, he wasn't going to, but still, we got to do what's best for the kid. We can't put him out there and put him in jeopardy of doing something. So it truly was, you know, it was right up to the, you know, before kickoff. We saw we'd be able to do what we wanted him to do, and he wanted to do, and he thought he was able to go out and execute. Yeah, shoot. I mean, that's the one thing about that kid that doesn't surprise me at all is his toughness. I mean, he's as tough of a guy as I've ever been around in coaching. Unbelievable kid, unbelievable leader. You know, does things the right way. Across the board.
Coach, talk about your preparation. You know, we always talk about these bye weeks in the NFL, and you guys had a week to prepare and the work that goes into that. And what was the focus going into this? Because obviously you guys achieved it. And by the way, I love the fact that you just say run the ball. We play that soundbite all the time here on the show when we talk about the attitude and the makeup of the kind of team that you're building. You guys did a hell of a job of doing that. But what about the week leading into this and the prep work that went into it?
Well, it was a lot.
I mean, yeah.
It was one of those things where we knew we had, you know, we were injured. We knew we had, you know, guys banged up at really important positions. I thought the kids and the staff had handled it well. All right. But, you know, you go 2 weeks in a row, you don't have key players, but at the end of the day, you don't win the football game, and no one really cares. They don't put asterisks on these things, and I told them that the standard to win doesn't change. It stays the same, and no one really cares what kind of adversity you go through because everyone goes through some sort of adversity during football seasons, and at the end of the day, we got to find a way, and we were able to do that. We were able to put together a plan. Really, it was really four offensive game plans we put together, you know, first half, second half for both guys, and not really knowing how it was going to shake out till game time. So we had to use really every extra minute we had for those, for the bye week and the leading up to the game to make sure we were able to get it all in.
Coach, I know you'd never make excuses, but if Haynes is 100%, you feel maybe there's a couple more W's on this schedule?
Ah, come on, you know me, man. I can't. I don't live in a hypothetical world. I'd drive myself crazy if I did that.
Okay, fair enough. But by the way, and then Philo too did a hell of a job too, and he knew he was going to be part of the game plan.
Yeah, he's been preparing. He's going to be a phenomenal football player for us. He really is. There's a big future for that kid here at Georgia Tech.
We're talking with Brent Key, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. A hell of a win against a top five opponent. And Coach, when you talk about your experience, whether it be as a player or as a coach, talk about this moment. Like, when you win these kinds of games, from the player perspective, you've done this as well. And then, obviously, now as a coach, your reaction, you know, the things that happen around you, and a memory or two if you have one.
Yeah, so Sunday night, when we practiced last Sunday night, and, you know, practice was over, and I sat in front of the team. I told myself, a lot of people ask me a lot of times what my favorite memory in all of coaching, playing, and all that is. So, you know, there's no one here on this team that was even born. I said, but my favorite memory was in 1998 when an undefeated Virginia team came down to Bobby Dodd Stadium, and I watched the goalposts get torn down and carried all over campus. I still got a piece of one in my office in the cabinet here, and I said, and I want to see these suckers come down again on Saturday night. and the team looked at me and I said, I told myself, I can't believe I just said that. But I did. I had confidence. I had confidence in this team. I had confidence in the plan we'd already started to put together to that point. And I'll tell you this, it don't matter what type of win we have, right? We put a lot of work and a lot of time, and these kids bust their absolute tails, to 300 plus days a year, for 12 opportunities to go play. So regardless of who you play or what type of win it is, I'm going to enjoy a win, and you can bet your tail that I enjoyed that one on Saturday.
It is a Brent Key with his guys, the 6-4 Jackets, second year as head coach, full season, and they're both bowl eligible, and there's room for even more wins out there. You know, running the football is a philosophy and an attitude, and you, as you said, as a tough old lineman, man, saw it against Florida State over in Dublin. I mean, just the physicality. I mean, just that's an attitude, and that's basically, is that the message when you're on the recruiting trail? That's the kind of dudes you want of that program?
Yeah, it is. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say I want to run the ball every play. I mean, obviously, we were in a situation where we had to run it a lot on Saturday. But it is the defining toughness of your football team. But I want to be able to have guys and be able to spread the ball around, be able to, you know, be explosive, you know, throwing the ball, running the ball, you know, be balanced. But sometimes, you know, adversity does hit, and you kind of playing with a hand tied behind your back, and you got to win the surest way. And we were able to do that with running the football, stopping the run, time of possession. But you want those type of guys in your program. That's what I want in this program. I want tough guys that aren't afraid to roll their sleeves up, you know, get down and dirty and do it the hard way. And I'm so proud of these receivers on this team. They knew that they were going to be in a position that, you know, probably weren't going to be throwing the ball a lot. You know, they were going to get some, you know, love on some jet sweeps. And when their time came, they had to make the most of it. They blocked on the perimeter as good as I've ever seen. And then you got Eric Singleton, who, you know, most receivers I would think in the country would have, you know, scored on that last play. And Eric had not only the smarts to do it, but the unselfishness to really go down right there and take a knee right there on the far sideline.
Yeah, Coach, we were talking about that. I was just saying to our audience, it's so hard to tell a kid this is the right play.
Right.
But then when you have that moment for them in the moment to go, I want to score, and then you go, oh, I'm going to take a knee. Like, it's so hard for them to remember this, the small stuff, let alone that kind of thing, right?
Well, I mean, we practice that. We know how to win football games the surest way. You know, taking a knee is one of those things that it's no different than kicking an extra point when you need to or going for a two-point conversion. I mean, it's part of the game. It's part of things we ingrain into our program, into our kids.
Coach, by the way, Brent Key named the Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. If you are, you get these awards when you start beating top five teams.
Right, right.
And I know Brent Key doesn't care about all of that. He cares about winning. I want to ask you about your defense. Coach, you held the number one scoring offense. For those who don't know, Miami came in here. They're averaging 47.4 points a game. Coach, you held them to 23. Let's talk about your defense.
Man, I couldn't be more proud of those kids and the job that Tyler Santucci's done since he's been here. Seeing these guys develop each week and improve each week. And, I mean, we got news right before the game that, you know, Warren Burrell, starting corner, you know, isn't going to be able to go. So, you know, we had a whole game plan wrapped around, you know the nickel position in Restrepo. And we had to move, you know, Rodney Shelley out to corner from nickel and CT, you know, Clayton Powell-Lee goes down and plays the nickel spot for the first time all year. So, you know, and
this was right before the game, Coach?
This was 10 minutes before kickoff, guys.
Wow.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Yeah.
So, yeah, there was some adjustment, as you can say. So, you know, Tooch did a great job. I mean, it's just to be able to kind of, you know, you bleed a slow death in some of those and, you know, play great situational football. We did that. We knew they were going to get their yards. But we were okay with giving up some of the yards as long as we were able to, you know, get to the red area, get stops in the red zone, get stops on third down. When third downs presented themselves, we had to get off the field. And we did that. And then the best defense I think we had was the ability to, you know, control the clock on the offensive side.
And Brent, I don't know, from watching on TV and from my friends who were in attendance, it seems like, you know, there was some chippiness from Miami, and you guys maintained your poise the whole game.
Yeah, that was something we started earlier in the week and really culmination on Friday night of talking about the emotional and mental discipline that we had to have in the game. And, you know, it's funny, I kind of show my age here, but I said, y'all can argue all you want about who the greatest basketball player of all time is, but there's no argument who the greatest clutch player of all time is with like one shot left or, you know, one shot under 60 seconds. And I showed the top 10 greatest shots of Michael Jordan and talked about how, you know, in those pressure situations, Jordan still shot 10% less than he did from the field and every other time during a game. But that 10% less that he shot was the best ever compared to most people who are about 50% with less than a minute to go in a basketball game from what they normally shoot. But how did he do it? Well, he was able to ignore the distractions, ignore people, you know, the cheerleaders, the people in the stands, you know, didn't care about what he was wearing or how he was dressed. He ignored all of that and focused on what was really important and had that emotional discipline to do it.
Yeah, it's hard for us to disagree with any of that. Right. We've had those arguments, Coach. Trust us. It's Brent Key here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So the Jackets are bowl eligible, guys. Again, they are 4-3, ACC record. They're guaranteed to finish, you know, 500 or better. Coach, let's talk about the schedule. It's a little unusual, right, with how things finish for you guys. I think it's Thursday and then a Friday game. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. You know, we get a little bit of a reprieve here at the end. You know, I think we went 5 straight to start the season, you know, after going overseas. And that was rough. We come out of that first bye. You know, we played 2 games, played pretty well, and then that's when the injuries really started happening. And, you know, there's no excuses, though. We played Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, and, you know, we're shorthanded. Mm-hmm. We're able to get some guys back for this past game. But now we've got padded room in between to right. help get some guys ready to go for these last 2 regular season games.
It was funny, we had Shane Beamer on last week after that great win they had over A&M, and I asked him, do you have recruits there? So I'll ask you, man. You had some recruits there on Saturday?
No, yeah, we had a lot of them, a lot of really good players. You know, that's how you got to keep getting better. We've got to continue to improve our depth. You know, the depth on the team, improve guys, and we'll have a lot of guys leave, and you know, we got to get new guys coming in. I mean, that's our lifeline is ability to recruit at a high level, recruit the best players here in the state and all over the South.
And just as a follow-up, we were talking about this off the air, and we hadn't had a chance to talk to you, Brent, in a minute. It seems like everybody, all the ships are in the same direction, the boosters, the collective. It seems like they're giving you the resources you need to get it done at this level.
And isn't that cool to see here, just to see everybody aligned and everybody on the same, you know the same mission, everybody wanting the same thing, but also not just saying – that we want something, but actually, you know, backing it up and everyone moving the same, you know, the same way. And man, it's so cool to be a part of.
Did you get a piece of the goalpost, Coach?
Supposedly, I think they got it. They're cutting it up, and they're going to get a piece to you know, okay. some players. I still got it. Hey, look, right over my right shoulder, I've got the piece from like 1998, 1999 pieces. So when I saw one of the pieces going up the stands and taking, you know, heading out to Tech Wood,
yeah,
right. I said, I screamed down, I said, keep another one. I want these players to have a piece of it, too.
Exactly. Yeah, the kids, I say this, man. I love this part of college football. And, Coach, you know this. Being a player and having now, you know, you're doing it as a coach. There's nothing better, man. There just isn't. To see the fan base. And, by the way, real quick before we let you go, fans were incredible. I thought the crowd was amped.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's so cool to, like, see people engaged and excited about Georgia Tech and excited about the games. I mean, our student section has been off the chain. Like, I mean, they are
right.
They are awesome. Take 25,000 of our closest friends. And we can build rockets and send to space, and we can change. You know, we can build computers. We can change the outcome of football games too.
Right on, brother. Well, hey, man, so happy to see you having the success. Congratulations on getting bowl eligible, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk to you before the Georgia game, and that's going to be a war, man. Congratulations, brother.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.